happy day, happy Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012. Wanted to thank everyone for all of the wonderful, spectacular birthday wishes I received yesterday. I'm grateful. Another year to learn and grow and learn and grow with you, all of my blessed beloveds. So grateful to have you online. We do have an amazing topic today. We're going to talk about Reiki and learn a little bit about it and what it is and where it came from. And as everybody knows, Amy is a master Reiki practitioner, so it's really cool to learn about this ancient system of healing. If you have any questions or if you want to chat and call on, you know, call in, the number is 347-205-9443. And of course, if you sign up for the free Blog Talk Radio, you can chat online with us throughout the show, and we'll be more than happy to answer questions and get a feeling for where you're at. Also, as always, we are looking for inspirational stories and new topics. I have a list, but feel free to keep sending them to us either via Facebook or, again, give us a quick call or let us know in the chat room what you want to hear about. This show would not be possible if it was not for you. So, again, very grateful to be your messenger, so to speak. So, Amy, how are you?
Great, Rusty. It's a beautiful day. It started out to be kind of chilly, but it's warmed up very nicely. So, and I'm glad you had a wonderful birthday yesterday. What I wanted to talk about was Reiki, and a lot of people have heard of Reiki and have experienced Reiki, and some have not. So I wanted to start with where Reiki came from, what it is, and how it works in our body to help us heal. So Reiki, the term Reiki is a Japanese word to describe a system of healing originally known as the Isui Shiki Roho, or the UC Way, named after its founder, Dr. Makayo Usui. Apologize, it's kind of a hard name to say. Though it is impossible to trace back where it exactly came from, my personal belief is that it's been here and been part of this planet all along from its inception. Dr. Usui is the person that actually developed what we now know as Reiki and brought it to the United States. So now let's look at the meaning of the word Reiki. Rei is the term used to describe the creative mind and the creative expression, or God, or your higher self. Rei is that the creation, and simultaneously you know within your heart that you are part of it. That is one way to describe Rei. I also like to refer it to as an enlightenment of the senses, to feel what needs attention in the body. Ki is the vital energy that fuels creation, or the life force energy. Ki powers the motion of the universe. It is the force that animates everything, also known as chi or prana. Ki flows through our electromagnetic bodies, supplying us with our life force energy. In essence, Reiki is love. It knows where it is needed the most, and Reiki is something anyone can learn. You don't have to have a gift to practice Reiki. You just have to find a way to be initiated and to learn Reiki. And as you use it, the more you use it, the more vibrant your energy becomes and the more vibrant your healing becomes. And you can facilitate that healing to others. And that's part of what I do for a living. The ability to give Reiki is learned through an oral tradition and is a series of initiations from a master to a student. These followed the original teachings founded by the Reiki Grandmaster, Dr. Usui, in the 19th century. Reiki is a useful tool for self-awareness and personal transformation and will often provide support for students to release many unwanted issues from the past. Reiki can also be used with many other therapies. Reiki is not affiliated with any religious dogma or practice, as some may believe. This enables people from any religious background to learn it and use it. Reiki is not based on a belief, faith, or suggestion. Rather, it is based on the direct experience of those that practice it. Reiki is a system of energy healing using spiritually guided life force energy. It is a useful tool for transformation if you're stuck in a pattern in your life and you really don't know what to do. Reiki, a lot of times, will, one, facilitate healing of the blockages of our own self-expression, our own self-love. A lot of times we don't feel we're worthy or that we have the ability to accomplish the goals that we would like to accomplish. So that being said, when you're having Reiki treatments done, not only am I treating you or a practitioner of Reiki is treating you, they are also helping you to learn how to heal yourself. So you can take that healing home with you. And the things that I've seen people transform, their way of life, their way of thinking, even physical weight loss, just getting those blockages out and facilitating love to these people transforms their life. So then they make the changes necessary to move on in their life and achieve their goals. The other thing I wanted to talk about is what Reiki is not. It is not a cult, like some people may think. It is not affiliated with any religion. And just to give you an example, our Reiki prayer, or what they call the five spiritual principles of Reiki, is just for today, do not worry, and just for today, do not anger. Honor your parents, your teachers, and your elders. Earn your living honestly and show gratitude to everything. So it's not directly related to any kind of religion or belief system. It's meant to be a universal healing system. And Reiki, and how it heals the body is it works with the delicate system of the chakra system of our body, which is not something you can physically see, but it is an energy system that runs along from the top of your head down through your body. And I'm going to go into a little bit about the chakra system. And the chakra system is a Sanskrit word meaning wheel. There are seven major chakras in the energy body, with the first situated at the perineum, or the base of the spine, and the seventh at the crown of the head. The chakras, traditionally depicted as a lotus flower, which, when combined with the idea of the wheel, results in a circular shape spinning around in its center as the flower petals unfold. Each chakra has a number of attributes, including a color, a relation to an element, and the maintenance of a specific physical and emotional functions. Although most of us cannot see the chakras, it's possible to become familiar with how they are working by focusing our attention on their locations and concentrating on how the area feels. Apart from working with energy to influence the chakras, we can also work with color and sound. For example, as each chakra is associated with a specific color, you can meditate on drawing that color into the chakra, or by wearing clothes of that color to strengthen it. Some people also work with sound vibration of each chakra. I actually just finished some training in October called Acutonics, and it works specifically in each chakra system at a certain vibration. It's very exciting. Now I have tools, I tell people. So it actually, I've seen quite a significance in the healing process using the sound with the Reiki, which is very exciting. I will now go over part of the chakra system and its colors and its element and what it can represent. And as soon as we have some, do we have some questions? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a full chat room today, which is great. Thank you for all your questions. Backing up a little bit, and you might have already explained this, but what are the five ideals again?
The five ideals are just for today, do not worry. Just for today, do not anger. Honor your parents, teachers, and elders. earn your living honestly, and show gratitude to everything. And there's another question that just came up on the chat line about auras and chakras. Your chakra is the energy system that's within your body. The aura is the etheric energy system, which is kind of almost like a protective layer of energy outside of your body. And when I work with Reiki, I do work with that etheric body, but the colors of the auras actually indicate to me what chakra system to work with and what is going on with that person at that time. So I may see an aura color of green mixed with some orange. And I know just by looking at their aura that they're having some issues financially. They could be having issues about speaking up about something, because that usually the green is your throat chakra. So a lot of times that can be many different things. But as I'm working with someone, as you develop your Reiki skills, you'll also develop your intuition. And you will get messages from that person's body or your own body as to what's going on. I see a lot of green actually right now because of the economy. A lot of people are worried about finances right now. So I see a lot of green auras. and people also don't want to speak up at work because they don't want to lose their job. So they feel like they're being stifled. So that's another reason why we're having throat chakra issues right now.
So this is actually a really good question, Amy. Some resources when people are looking up Reiki, it's a little convoluted because the information is kind of scattered. And this is a great question. Some resources say that Reiki was founded in Japan, while others suggest Tibet. The most common thread is Yusui, who
originally is from Japan,
who was a Japanese Buddhist monk. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Dr. Usui was actually from Japan. The original texts of the Reiki symbols, which once you get into learning about Reiki, you'll understand that a lot of people call them secret symbols because the only people that are allowed to see them are people who are being initiated. So I wouldn't, draw them online or, make a poster or a picture of the Reiki symbols because they're ancient sacred number system or symbolism that's been handed over time, and they originated in Tibet. So the original founding of the Reiki symbols is from Tibet, but what we know as Reiki, they didn't really call it Reiki. It was a healing system. It's not taught like it is today. It was passed down to monk to monk. Or Buddhist monks, they were the only ones that really knew of Reiki. I personally believe that Jesus used Reiki to heal. That's my personal belief, and I know that there's other shamans and everybody, that uses Reiki, but there's also other names for it. In the Christian world, it's laying of hands. It's the same thing. It's just different religious dogmas give it a different name, but it's still healing from the universal energy. It just comes back to that one simple what it is. Dr. Usui is from Japan. So that's where you get the mixed messages out there because he actually has founded it as we know it, as Reiki, and brought it to this country. His wife was actually from Hawaii. So he spent a lot of time in Hawaii. And she continued his teaching. He had 10 grandmasters under him, and then she had 10 grandmasters after her. My lineage is actually under Takata's, which is his wife. I'm under her direct lineage. My Reiki master is under her direct lineage, and it's kind of like our own family tree. I have another family tree of the Reiki tradition.
Okay, so We are going into, there's a lot of questions, guys, so really grateful for that, and I'm trying to get to them as fast as I can. One of the questions that has popped up is, if chakras means the wheel, why are they lined up from head to toe?
The wheel actually represents the motion that the chakras move, okay? The chakras move in a rotation either clockwise or counterclockwise. And we go clockwise and we, like your crown chakra is clockwise, and then you go down the chakra system, you go counter, then clock, and counter, and clock. So they have their own specific spin. Sometimes people's chakras won't be spinning at all, which means it's a blocked energy. There's something blocking the energy of that chakra. So, of course, that's a chakra I would need to work on. Another way is that it's moving in the wrong direction, which is going to make you very confused about the energy that surrounds that chakra, because your chakra is moving in an opposite direction. So then I have to get it to move in the right direction. Also, why it's in a straight line is because it governs different nervous systems, different organs in the body. There's so much you can elaborate on with the energy body. You know, like your root chakra is mostly related to female organs and, you know, reproductive organs. And it also, emotionally, is about your childhood. That's where we stuff all of our emotions that our body does not feel we can deal with. So a lot of people that have a lot of abuse in their life, a lot of times they end up with reproductive cancer because their root chakra is closed. And when their root chakra is closed, usually the other chakras have a dysfunction, because it's kind of like a domino effect. If you take the foundation out, the whole building's going to collapse. And your root chakra is your foundation. Your solar plexus chakra, which is right above that, right around your belly button, when you get stressed out, you feel that icky feeling in your stomach, or if you get nervous, you feel that. That's your protective chakra. That's the chakra that's protecting the root chakra. So if it thinks it's something that's too much that you can handle, it shoves it down to the root chakra. So if you have a lot of people that I work with for the first time, I have to adjust their solar plexus chakra, because that's where we protect ourselves. And in order for you to heal, you need to accept those feelings and let them go. And that's what I facilitate. I also teach you, when you go home, if you're coming into a stressful situation, how to deal with it at that moment in time, so you don't get your chakras all messed up again. It does take several treatments for people, mostly to see the changes in their life, because it's so subtle. But some people see it right away. I use a pendulum too to help visualize the patient, so they can see what I mean by the energy system and how they're working, and how much better they're working when I'm done. So that's why we consider it the wheel, because it's always the energy is always churning in one direction or the other. Or, like I said, if it's still, that means it's completely blocked.
So one of the questions I have as I'm learning about this is incredibly interesting to me. Are there other names for the chakras? You mentioned the root chakra or the base chakra. So, and aren't there colors related to that? So if you wear certain colors or something?
Okay, the root chakra is at the base or in your reproductive area. It's called the base, or the Muladhara is another word, or the Tibetan word for that chakra. The color of its influence is red, and its element is earth, and the body sense that it affects its smell. It can also affect your sinuses. So that being said, if you have a lot of sinus issues, you need to ground yourself to the earth. So you need to do some grounding exercises. And if you wear red, that will strengthen that chakra. The next one is your sacral. Actually, I said the solar plexus, but the sacral is a color of orange. And this is a hard word. I never say this right. It's Vadisthana is the Tibetan word for that chakra. Its element is water, and the body sense that it relates to is taste. So if you're experiencing issues with taste, some people say, that just nothing tastes good to me. That is usually an indication that you need to work on that chakra. And wearing the color orange, or even, funny enough, drinking orange juice, that will really facilitate, you know, your orange vegetables. You could eat more orange vegetables to help that chakra thrive. And its element is water. Usually if you're having trouble with your sacral, you are not drinking enough water. The next one is the solar plexus, or the menapura. The color of its influence is yellow, and its element is fire. It's funny, but a lot of people have asked me, why is the solar plexus yellow and fire, and the red is its element is earth? The only thing I can come up with for that is that it doesn't necessarily mean the element is related to the color. It's just what element it's related to. And if you remember what I was talking about, where it's our protective bubble. When you're protective, you're fiery. So that's why that element is there. And that body sense is sight. So if you have a lot of issues with your eyesight, then you need to work on your solar plexus. Usually that means there's something that you're shoving down, some emotion or something that's happened to you in your past. You can be aware of it or not aware of it. It could have happened and you don't remember it, and it's shoving it down into your base chakra. And usually you're going to, the three chakras, those three together are pivotal to have balanced. Once you balance those three chakras, the other ones are pretty easy to do. So that's where I work the most, is in those three chakras. The next one is the heart chakra, or the Anahata, which is green, and sometimes it's pink. I see it more green, but I also see green into the throat chakra as well, which that color is turquoise. So I guess I could be getting a little colorblindness going on here, but the green kind of radiates between the heart and the throat for me. And its element is air, and its body sense is touch. So say you may have a problem with someone touching you. Like, you may not be one of those people that like to receive hugs like me. I like to be hugged, kissed, and smothered. And some people just don't like that. And that could be that you need to really do some hard work with your heart chakra. There's something that hurt your heart somewhere that made you feel unsafe. So we, a lot of times, with your safety or anxiety, is all in your heart chakra. So when I'm working with people with anxiety, depression problems, I work with their heart chakra. And a lot of our emotions are stuck there. They may not be shoved. That's why you get that pain or that ache in your heart. You know, a heart attack has a lot to do with your heart chakra. The next one is your throat chakra, or the Vishuddha, which is turquoise, and I see it more green. But that's just me. And the element is the ether, or the akasha. Your ether element is not one you hear a lot about. And I just actually learned about this element recently. And it's basically a spirituality that's almost non-visible. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's there, but we're not aware of it. And I'm not quite sure. I'm just learning about this element, so I don't have a lot of information about it, but I will definitely talk about it once I learn more about it, because I was told that I need to work more in my ether element. So I'm learning just as you guys are. So and that affects the hearing, which is funny because I've been having a problem with my left ear. So obviously there's some work I need to do in that chakra area for myself. The next one is your brow, or your Ajna. And that is, color influence is a deep blue, like an indigo blue. And that element is the spirit. And the body sense is ESP. So you know how everybody, you know, you point to your third eye in the middle of your brow? That's your brow chakra. And it makes sense because we always say telepathically, we go from that point, and everyone points to that point. It's exactly right. That's where our ESP our extra is ESP, for people that don't know what that means, is extrasensory projection. So in other words, have you ever had a great friend that you really connect with that can finish your sentence, that can read your thought before you even say it? That's ESP. You're picking up on that energy. We may not understand it. And it's not saying, like, when I'm working with someone, they're like, how do you know about this happening in my body, or I feel this way? How do you know? I don't know. I can't say a voice comes in my head. It just is a thought in my head, and I've learned that I say everything I think when I'm working with people, mm-hmm. because it does connect to them. Whether it makes sense to me or not, it totally connects to them. Mm-hmm. And it is just the divine power giving me the message that I need to know to help facilitate healing in this person's body.
Mm-hmm. Some people call it intuition.
Yeah, it can be called intuition, but ESP is actually the actual projection between two beings without speaking. So intuition is more of a feeling, not so much as actually getting that message. Like if you've ever played telephone, mm-hmm. it's never the same at the end, okay? But if it's only two people, it's going to be accurate. But when you tell it to 17 different people, it's not going to be accurate on the other end. Mm-hmm. And everyone's intuition, they second guess themselves. They'll say, oh, did I hear that word right? No, I heard this. So, you know, it's all everyone's little game plan within their own self of how it ends up to be at the end. The last one is the crown chakra. And that is a violet or gold. I also see that white myself. A lot of times I see it white. If I'm initiating someone, I envision the white light coming from our creator down into their crown chakra. And that element is also the spirit. And the crown chakra represents all senses. It is our connection to our higher power, whatever that may be.
That is really awesome. And I'm looking forward to learning a lot more. Many questions are coming in, Facebook and chat room and cell phone, the little messaging piece on the cell phone's going off. We are going to take a quick break, so go out, stretch, stand up, breathe deeply through your nose, out your mouth, get some tea or coffee if you're a coffeeaholic like me, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Ah, that feels great. Nice warm coffee with coconut creamer going down my whole chakra system and warming me up. Welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty. Fabulous co-host Amy, master Reiki practitioner, is sharing with us a little bit, as much as she can, about the process of Reiki and how hospitals now are starting to actually utilize it as part of a holistic therapy, holistic meaning of mind, body, and soul, which everybody out there knows my favorite subject other than chocolate. So part of what we do here on Living and Thriving is really discuss anything that's pertinent to mind, body, and soul. And hopefully that inspires you to continue a more holistic practice, really caring for yourself. Anyway, I am babbling on. The coffee is just so fabulous. So part of Reiki that I understand, and it's actually I've had Reiki. I think it's phenomenally amazing. It's very, very interesting, but it's great for stress reduction. It's great for relaxation. It's, you know, for those of us who meditate on a regular basis, it's the same premise. You're really trying to clean the negative out of your body. And Amy's doing a great job at really fine-tuning what that means for those of us who are not practitioners but may become one, because it sounds like something I want to learn more about. So going to a couple of questions. One question, I'm going to throw a couple at Amy and she's going to respond. Was Reiki really studied in a private society? Was it really not forbidden, but so misunderstood at the time period that people had to kind of be secret about teaching it? That's question one. And then another one, which is fascinating to me, and hopefully she'll talk to you a little bit about her tools. She used them on me last night. That was my birthday present. It was fabulous. Attunement and what that means and how that changes the vibrational energy in practice.
Yeah, those are great questions and tough ones as well. The way I understand what in my studying and with my Reiki master is that, for one thing, I do teach a lot differently than what's out there, what people may experience. I want people to understand where it's from, what it is, and to respect it for what it is, because it's not supposed to really be a secret, but it is kind of secretive because we want to keep it in the same tradition as much as possible. We've lost a lot of the symbolism, and not putting down Christianity at all. I'm a Christian, so I don't put down any religion at all, as long as it's promoting happiness and well-being. I don't have anything against, I'm very universal. But that being said, I'm going to answer the question truthfully. When Christianity came on board, there was a lot of Christians and Catholics that believed that this was a blasphemous practice, as well as paganism. Paganism was looked at as witchcraft. There really is no such thing as witchcraft. Paganism was given that name because the Roman Catholics were very strict at that time about their belief system and what they believed in. And, you know, some of them did prosecute people who did not believe in their way, as we all know from history. So that being said, Reiki was kind of hidden because it was still practiced by the Tibetan monks, and Buddhists practiced Reiki, although they call it chi. Instead of ki, there's different words, and I know the Japanese call it kwai. It's still the same meaning. It's just a different word in a different culture. That's what I love about Reiki, is it touches everything. It's universal energy from your creator, whoever that may be. And it does not go against any religious. Like I said, I'm a practicing Christian and Buddhist, and I'm very secure in what I believe in, and so should everyone else in what they feel comfortable, what brings them joy, and what brings them love. But the symbolism, because of this being hidden, there was over 3,000 symbols, and today we might have 300. I only know of 7, and I'm a Reiki master. So that goes to tell you how much is being lost, which is a shame, because I see fabulous results with Reiki and helping people, not just physically, but emotionally, and, you know, finding their true self and having confidence in themselves to make improvements in their life. I can't even imagine being able to have over 300 symbols to use and what we could create. But right now, all we have is really 7 that we teach with. I'm researching to see if there's a way to, you know, find the rest of them. But, you know, you always hit some, you know, brick walls along that path. And you had mentioned about stress reduction. I don't know anything else besides the aromatherapy and the acutonics, but you've put those three together, the Reiki healing, that's your touching mind, body, and spirit, and that's what it's all about, balance. Balance is the key to wellness, and if you're balancing your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual self, your life becomes balanced. So all the negativity in your life, including people, you know, and it's not saying that you have to, you know, completely not be friends with a person who may be negative. You just have to be more positive so that person will pick up that positive energy and eventually that person will change as well.
Yeah, we discussed that in the last week in regards to how your attitude, your attitude is very viral. Sorry, I'm
echoing. When I first started learning Reiki, it was kind of funny. I was pregnant with my third child, and my second husband. He had never had children before, and I had already had two children, and didn't need to go to Lamaze class. But he needed to go to Lamaze class, evidently. So we went to Lamaze class. And I was a little late because at that moment in my life, that was a big issue for me, is being on time. And so we were late, and the lady that was running the Lamaze class looked over her glasses at me and said, "I need to see you after class." So I was nervous the entire class that I was in trouble, that I did something wrong and that I can't interrupt class and come late, and I was beating myself up. And so me and my husband go back, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry for being late, interrupting class." She goes, "No, you need to learn Reiki." So all that time I'm worrying about a negative aspect, and her whole idea was positive. So I learned right from that moment that I had started down an incredible path. And what's funny is my two youngest girls, I was pregnant with each initiation. So both of my young girls are Reiki practitioners before they were even born, because they were initiated as well as I. And I learned with a wonderful woman, Jackie, who lives in Arizona now, and she passed me on to her sister, Nadine Wheeler, who is a Reiki master. She does cranial sacral therapy at York Hospital in York, Maine. She is the head of Wellness First, and she's been an incredible mentor for me, and she has been with me from the onset of my holistic journey, so to speak. So when I teach Reiki, I teach my students level one on my own, and I always bring them to my Reiki master, and we do it together, because the initiation that I'm talking about, all that really is creating the connection between the master and the student. So we're always connected. When I'm your Reiki master, basically I'm your mentor or friend for life. We're always going to be connected, even if we part ways and you go one way and I go another. We're still connected by that life force energy. So it is really important for you to feel very comfortable with your Reiki master who's teaching you. I know there's a lot of forums out there that teach Reiki in a weekend, which can work for people. That's not the way I choose to teach. I choose to teach at a more slow level. I also incorporate them to volunteer at hospitals and hospices, and with my own business, when I go out and do charity work for cancer and MS, I bring my students with me. That way, not only, one, are they getting hands-on experience, they can ask me questions right then and there about things that they're feeling. Their clients can ask me questions, and it's hands-on training. I want anyone that's associated with me to get as much educational and hands-on training as possible, because I want them to go out and be the best Reiki master or Reiki practitioners that they can be. Most people don't go on to be a Reiki master. All a Reiki master is a teacher, and it's a whole different level. It takes a long time to build your own self-confidence to pass an initiation, which really only takes about 15 minutes, but it's extremely powerful. A lot of people will take these weekend seminars, which I'm not against, but I don't think that people should open a practice after having a four-day seminar. I think they should have to have at least a year's intern, you know, somewhere, you know, practicing for and under a master to make sure that they are practicing Reiki in the tradition that it was meant to be practiced. There are some people that own the ability, that own the energy, that it's them that's healing you. It's not. It's the, you're basically a tool or a conduit of energy that's flowing from the universal life force energy in your higher self and our creator down through me into you. I'm facilitating intention, good intention, to help that person heal in whatever way that they need to heal, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually.
Awesome. So one of the things that I was hoping that you could delve into a little bit was the attunement process, if you can, and how the tuning forks that you just learned about work, because you did that to me last night and I really felt a ton better. And it was strange because she was doing her tuning forks on my feet and my ears were wiggling. It was kind of cute, but anyway, if you could talk about that, that would be great.
Okay, the initiation process is when I start training a Reiki 1. A Reiki 1 is a person who is learning self-healing, because you have to love yourself and heal yourself before you can love and heal others. So the first level, we work on ourselves. And I work closely with you. I have you come in for treatments, and I show you the hand positions and different chakra systems, what you're going to feel. One thing that people notice right off is when someone is facilitating Reiki, their hands will get very warm, and that's the energy coming through, just like an electrical wire. It's the same idea. It's coming through my body into yours, and I'm facilitating and concentrating it in certain areas. So Reiki 1 is the initiation process is actually using the symbols I was talking about earlier and actually putting the symbols in the person's hands and all of their chakra system. So those symbols are present in your system. I believe they're already there, and I think this is my personal belief, that the initiation process awakens it. I believe we're born with Reiki capability and symbolism in our DNA, and I believe the initiation actually opens it up, or wakes it up, so to speak. Now, she was talking about the tuning forks, and the tuning forks is called acutonics, and it's sound healing. They're much like your tuning forks you would use for a piano. It works the same idea. Each fork has a certain vibration, which produces a certain sound, which produces a certain energy to your body. Each fork has its own magnetic or megahertz, so to speak. Okay. Another way I can describe it is a bumblebee. A bumblebee only thrives in a perfect environment for the bumblebee. If that magnetic sound wave is off, they will start dying off. And the bees are dying off right now. So our universe is being affected by the solar flares and other aspects out in the universe that is causing this magnetic flux in our planetary system, which is on a greater level. However, the Reiki energy is connected to that universal energy. So that being said, the tuning forks that I use are all attuned to the universe. I have a Sun fork, I have a Neptune fork, I have a Mars fork, I have a Jupiter fork, a Zodiac Earth fork, and I also have the Om Unison. When people meditate and you hear people go, Om, they're trying to reach that decibel, that certain ohm octave. So the tuning forks that I use, the ohm unison, is used a lot to balance. And that's why people use that mantra when they're meditating, is so they can achieve balance. So when I use the tuning forks with Reiki, I start out using Reiki and I kind of scan the body to find out where the issues are and where I'm going to work. And then I start using the forks. The forks actually vibrate to a certain megahertz. And the ohm unison I put on Rusty's feet, as she had described, I put that on the gushing spring reflex point on the foot, which facilitates detoxification of your kidney. But it also travels up your whole nervous system and removes any blocks. The first time that I ring the ohm unison on your feet, you may not even feel it all the way up your body. You may feel it up through your knees, maybe up through your hip. Then the second time I sound them and put them on your body, you'll feel it more vibrantly. And it's wonderful to get rid of a muscle tension. Unbelievable. I can't even believe how these forks are used. I'll have boulders in people's backs that I'm like on the table with my elbow trying to get this muscle to release. And I'll put the Zodiac Earth and Ohm fork on that three times, and it's like jelly.
And that's what I found incredibly interesting was, as you were putting it on, I think it was on my heel, my ears started wiggling, like this spasm wiggling, and I was laughing. I'm like, isn't that the silliest thing? And she's like, stop it. And it worked. It was absolutely amazing to me.
And I also do, as I talked before, the raindrop technique, which is aromatherapy massage. I also incorporate the tuning forks and Reiki, which, I mean, if you're going to do all three, you're going to be there for 2 hours, at least, because the raindrop takes an hour. The vibrational raindrop takes an hour and a half, and then I always do about a half an hour of Reiki. So that, I mean, it's touching every single aspect, body, mind, and soul. People leave feeling rejuvenated. One of the most calming comments that I get when they leave my office is they feel like they're floating. They feel like they're walking on clouds, or they feel a weight lifted, or they feel lighter. And I also use a word I don't like to use all the time, but for lack of a better word, you feel a little stoned when you're done, because it's shaking up your cells, it's, you know, moving, it's adjusting things in your body and your mind, and it's trying to relax you. So you sit there with like half an eye closed, you know, I felt the first time I had the vibrational raindrop, I felt almost disconnected. But when I reconnected, I felt so good, so happy, so vibrant, and no pain, no muscle tension, no anxiety. It's just amazing. And people need this so much right now, because a lot of people are giving up. They're not thriving. They're not meeting their challenges. They're just hiding, or they're retreating. So what I'm trying to do is help people regain their power. Regain, you know, all of us are going through tough times. Even the rich, they're having to, you know, sell summer homes or whatever, just looking at the future. But what we need to start doing now is thinking positively about our future. Thinking, you know, if we keep thinking negatively about our future, like watching the news, we'll never have positive change. In order for us to have positive change, we need to make positive changes.
Right. And one of my largest, not to say that I'm not one of the most positive people on the planet, but I started the Course in Miracles for my birthday. And a lot of what I'm studying, and for those of you who are familiar with the Course in Miracles, it's a year-long study. So being 3 days into it does not make me an expert in any way, shape, or form. However, that's one of the first things that it tries to instill in you is positive thinking and being positive in your environment, because your mind, your body, and your soul all require that positive energy, because the universe doesn't hear no. And we will talk about this every show, I'm sure. But in regards to the raindrop piece, do you want to mention, because we're going to wrap up in a few minutes, do you want to mention a little bit more about what raindrop is?
Well, raindrop is an aromatherapy session that incorporates reflexology, light massage, and specific techniques, reflexology techniques with specific oils layered in a specific order. They all have their individual properties that, you know, help different things of your body, but synergistically they all work together. So the raindrop, for instance, the oils that I use in raindrop are a blend called Valor. I call it a chiropractor in a bottle. It actually does straighten the spine. It helps malformations of the spine, scoliosis and that kind of thing. It relaxes. It also empowers you. It gives you courage. On a spiritual level, it gives you courage to face things, and that's why they call it Valor. It's like a shield.
Mm-hmm.
The next two is oregano and thyme, which it works as a natural antibiotic. And then you have basil, which is an antidepressant. And you have wintergreen, which is what we made aspirin from. We copied the chemical constituents of wintergreen to make aspirin. So wintergreen is a great pain reliever. And then you have marjoram, which is works with your muscle spasms or your involuntary muscles. PMS cramping, menstrual cramping is fantastic for.
Ears wiggling.
Yeah. Anything that's that's an involuntary muscle action, marjoram is good for. Then you have cypress, and cypress is really soothing to the mind, body, and soul. I love cypress. It's very mild fragrance, but it helps the circulatory system, so it gets everything moving, and it helps with muscle cramping. Gout is another one that I use it for. Edema, if you have any edema problems with the elderly, throw some cypress on them. And then the next one is peppermint, which a lot of people know peppermint to be good for belly aches, but it's also great for headaches, reducing fever. And peppermint is an oil that actually helps all the other oils work better. So we always end in peppermint. And then once I administer all the oils and I massage your muscles, then I put a nice, really steamy, hot towel. I put one towel over you and then put a hot pack of towels on your back. And it just infuses all those oils down to the cellular level and melts all your stress, anxieties. Your muscles just feel like butter. And then I go into doing reflexology on the legs and the feet. And it's just a fabulous thing. I used to get sick all the time. I would get bronchitis every winter. I would have sinus infections, asthma, bladder infections, you name it. I was a mess. And ever since I've been using the essential oils and the energy medicine, it's been about 7 years since I've been sick.
And that is completely amazing, because our children do share the same school system, and unfortunately, half of the school was out 2 weeks ago with a horrible virus, and Amy and I somehow bypassed that. We missed it. We dodged it.
That's because our immune system's strong enough to fight it.
But our kids did not, unfortunately. So building up those immune systems, the little people's bodies that are growing and changing.
And I do use the oils on children. I'm just really very careful. Because children are building their immune systems as they grow, so I certainly don't want them to be overstimulated by a botanical that may cause them harm. I've never known of it, but I know my children, when I keep them home, I'll keep them home for a day, and some kids are out 2 weeks because they can't shake it. I just keep them home. I oil them up, and one of my daughters uses a roll-on at school for ADD. And we don't have to, her teacher knows when she has not had her oils. And I've been using that quite successfully with children with ADD and Asperger's, you know, to help them calm themselves and not get into those manic states that some of them can get into at times.
Well, I'm just looking on Facebook and in our chat room now to see if anybody has any questions. And just as a gentle reminder, if you feel like you want to chat in our chat room. I see a lot of people in there, but you have to evidently sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account so that you can interact with other people about the subject and with myself or Amy directly. As we take turns on the radio show, we do try to connect with you on a personal level. But you have to sign on and let us know if you don't want us to use your name. We can come up with an alias very quickly. I'm a life coach and a motivational speaker. I'm used to confidentiality and privacy acts. And Amy is, you know, as a health practitioner, she is as well. And we're very super, super sensitive and respectful to that. So don't worry about that piece. And if you have any questions, the show number that you can call in on is 347-205-9443. And I'm grateful to having Amy's knowledge and sharing that with us today. I think it's just really beautiful. It's a great concept to really think about, especially for those of us who meditate, and we already are on the level of understanding of moving energy. And this is just another way of doing that. And I've seen it in hospice settings. I used to work in long-term care or for long-term care as a consultant. And I've seen Reiki utilized as another method of healing. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful process.
Well, now that you've brought that up.
Go figure, right?
Okay, I do encourage my students, like I said before, to volunteer for hospitals and things. And at Wentworth Douglas, they have a actually an integrative medical department.
Yeah, they actually just started new meditation classes.
And they do, you know, some aromatherapy, which I'm not trying to put anybody down, but they're really... There's not a lot of people in New England that are educated in aromatherapy.
Correct.
I've tried to get into that system. Unfortunately, with all the blue, it's easier for me to get hired than it is for me to be a volunteer for whatever reason. I'm not really sure why. But you don't get paid to do Reiki in the hospitals. It's all volunteer. And that's one thing I'd like to change, because I think they obviously see the significance of Reiki and how it can heal. I have a lot of patients that have surgery, and I encourage them to get Reiki, whether I come and see them or they take advantage of the Reiki that's offered. And most hospitals do offer Reiki, even if it's not advertised. If you're going to have surgery and it's something that you'd like to experience, ask them, because most hospitals that I know of do have some, you know, sort of Reiki connection, whether they advertise it and put it in your face. Like Wentworth Douglas, you know, it's part of the whole package when you have surgery. It's part of the whole thing. In fact, it's also part of childbirth now, which is very exciting. I've actually been helping people. People have used hypnosis for years for childbirth. Well, Reiki and aromatherapy is a very good way to facilitate through that process, the pain, and being able to go drug-free.
Well, and that's interesting. They must have recently started that, because when I was hospitalized there, very, very ill with celiac, at that time we didn't know what it was, but I was there for on and off for 3 weeks. And that was never offered. That would have been really, really helpful.
Right, and that's why I tell people to ask, because most hospitals do offer it. They just don't, offer up the information, so to speak.
Gotcha.
There are other hospitals that are more into it than others.
Yeah.
I know York Hospital in Maine.
They're huge.
They are, I mean, walking into their hospital is like walking into a spa.
Yeah.
It's very holistic inclined, and they're very on board with that type of work. I worked there for years while I was training for Reiki. So
well, that's why I chose to have Chloe there, because it was very private, very homey, very...
Yes, and I know a lot of the powers to be over there, and they all work together for a common goal, which is what I love. Wentworth Douglas is on its way. It's coming.
Yeah.
They've just had an unbelievable growth in their hospital. So I know that's part of the delay of getting that integrative department where they want it to be.
But it's great that they're starting.
That's why I'm plugging it out there, because a lot of people don't know it's there. And it's a wonderful place, you know, and if anyone is interested in learning more about Reiki or having a Reiki session, you can reach me on Facebook at Earth Energy, or Amy@yourearthenergy.com is my website or my email. You'd be happy to email me. I work in the Dover area primarily. I do work in a spa on the weekends in Hampton, and I also do house calls for the elderly or people that are immobile or have just had surgery. So I do house calls as well. But I, like I said, I also teach. So if anyone's interested in that whole process, I could definitely be happy to talk to you.
And for those of you who are out there listening, definitely, you know, a lot of you are international. A lot of you are not necessarily in our area physically. I'm sure if you emailed Amy, she'd be more than willing to kind of research a local organization in that area.
Absolutely.
For you, so that you can further up your research.
Yeah, and even if you're, say you're calling in from Georgia, I'll find somebody in Georgia that
right.
you can work with. It doesn't necessarily have to, you know, be me that's doing it, because we all work together, Reiki practitioners, we're brothers and sisters, and we help. You know, we want you, the whole goal is having you having the best experience, not me having the best experience, whether it be financial or spiritually, but it's all about you. It's all about what you need. And if you're in Georgia, I can talk to you over the phone, but to actually have a Reiki session is more beneficial for you. So, of course, I'm going to find somebody in that area and give you some contacts, and then you can choose which one's best for you.
Exactly. So thank you, Amy, for offering to do that, and we look forward to many more conversations on many more wonderful subjects. We are going to wrap it up for the day. So thank you for listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty and fabulous Reiki master practitioner tool user that makes my ears wiggle, aromatherapist goddess person, for sharing some of your gifts with us, because I think it was really helpful for a lot of people. And just a basic understanding is all we need at this time. And if you want to further explore, definitely give us a shout out either on Facebook or, as Amy said, give us your...
My email is Amy@yourearthenergy, and I'll spell it out for you. It's Amy@yourearthenergy.com. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or to help you on your journey to wellness.
Absolutely. And next week we will have another surprise session. And it won't be my birthday, so I won't be delayed in posting it on all of my social networks. So it'll be exciting. I have a feeling it's going to be possibly something to do with, I can't tell you. It's too exciting to keep you in suspense. So, love you all.
I thought you were going to give it up.
Love you all. Have a blessed day, and thank you for living and thriving.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.